Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is your host, at least one of them, for Keeping It Real. And that's what we're going to do on this evening. Apostle Miller is with her son. He was a pastor in Virginia. And there's a holiday. I expect maybe Apostle McIntyre may call in a little later. But until then, we're going to deal with 1 John verses 15 through 17. And by keeping it real means simple. We are going to address various things that we have to do in our daily living in order for us to survive. Not only just survive, but in order for us to enjoy that which God has given us. And God has given to the children of men the earth. That's found in Psalms 15, verse 6, 115, verse 16. Whenever you read it, you're clear, we have the earth. And 1 John is not talking about that. 1 John is talking about where we put our desire and where we put our heart. So I'm going to read 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. That's the theme of this. And it goes on, if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires passes away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. And you say, why are we doing this time? Why are we talking about Christmas? Why are we talking about presents? Why aren't we talking about the birth? One reason is the birth is important, but how we understand that birth is more important. And if we look at what's happening around us, we see all the hustle and bustle and stress and domestic violence and all of this and the thieves, how people are trying to take something that's not theirs because they want it, because this season says that you need some type of material object. You need to have something to give to someone. Sometimes when you don't have anything you don't have the means to obtain it, you wind up stealing. Sometimes people even kill. People abuse people. And that's because what they see becomes more important than the word. And I'm going to read the word that applies in this situation. He says, if anyone loves the world. Now, why would we be in love with the world when what the world has comes from the earth, which God has given to us? Think about it. It sounds like we have flipped the switch. We have put our love in that which comes from that which the Creator created, we see that being more important than us having dominion over the earth. If we understand the word, then we know that it is ours in the beginning. And we don't have to lust after it. We don't have to scheme. We don't have to use deceptive techniques to try to get what's already ours. And if it's ours, then we love the Father who gave it to us, as opposed to the thing that came from that which the Father has given us. And, you know, it's not complicated. It's very simple. Very, very simple. When you have to sit with it and think about it. See, the world has created an image that this belongs to it, as opposed to it belongs to you. Just like Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness out there and tried to tell him that if he bow down and worship him, give him what's already his. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So it didn't start with us. It started with Jesus and his temptation out in the wilderness. Why is it that you're going to try to give me something that I already have? So what does that mean? That means you have deceived me into believing that it's not mine. And by you doing that, that predisposed me to given unto you the world, that which is mine, which doesn't belong to the world, and that's the earth. I want you all to think about this. And if you think about it, meditate on it, reflect on it. Allow the Holy Spirit. Yes, I said the Holy Spirit. And those of you who are like me, who at one point thought the scientific method was the beginning and the end. Until one day, the little light bulb went off, and it says, if I don't experience with the five senses, I don't know that it's real, but there is something beyond the five senses. And as a result of that, I began to meditate and reflect. And I began to see the role of the Holy Spirit. And I began to disassociate myself at the level that I was with the scientific method. But the Creator said clearly, do not love the world. Now, you say, oh, I don't understand. Then he goes on to explain it. Or anything in the world. He said, don't love the world, anything in the world. And you say, wonder what do you mean by that? Well, your car, immaterial object, that comes from the earth, you don't love that a place that higher than the one that created it. And that's what people are doing. That's why people are getting stressed out now. That's why people are committing suicide. That's why people are committing acts of domestic violence. That's why the crime, if you look at it, the crime rate, specific crime rate, theft, crime is up during this time. People do not have the means. They will find another way. And lots of times that way is stealing. See, I remember when I was a little kid, my parents had gone to the grocery store. My sister and I was left in the car. You know how they say they're going to do something with Santa Claus. This is Christmas time. And someone came in to the car and took all the groceries that they had purchased. We were fortunate they didn't bother us. But the fact of the matter is, they were too busy trying to get a toy, and they wound up losing the food that they had purchased. So maybe if they would have taken a different approach, that wouldn't have happened. I don't know whether they learned anything from that or not. They never talked about it. Oh. And then it tells you what the consequences are. It says, if you love the world, love for the Father is not in them. And then you take and personalize that. If anyone, so if I love the world, love for the Father is not in me. At one point, I had to have a certain car, model car, make and model car. But I didn't have that car. I did not feel whole. Yes, that's exactly what I said. And that's one of the consequences of putting who you are. In essence, I allow a material object to define who I was. I want you to think about that. What is in your life that defines who you are, what you are? Something that you just have to have. I want you to meditate and reflect on that so that you can come to an understanding. But so what that says, and whatever it is, that's what you love. That's where your heart is. Your heart is there. And your soul is not complete if you don't have it. Let's just take another look at this now. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Okay. Now he goes on. And like, he clarifies everything. That's how we have to learn how to read scripture. You don't just read scripture calling words. And always remember, punctuation was not in those manuscripts, in those sentences. It was just a one container sentence, if you want to call it that, for our culture. And then he goes on. He clarifies and specifies what it is that trips you up. Such as the loss of the flesh. And a lot of people, they just want to think human. Well, I'm saying that that quarrel I had to have was a lust. Lust of the flesh. And if we are clear about it, and you can think of other things other than that. But people love to just say that that's about human. That's about something sexual, something that other than material possession. So it's all right if we have material possession, if we have to have it, if we would do anything in order to get it, or we do anything in order to keep it. Classical example, what's being played out right now in America, the committee report of the January 6th, it shows that that man, where his heart is, or was, and appears still is in the office of the president. And that's what caused him to do anything in order to stay even when he lost the election. He sacrificed, had people to sacrifice their lives for him in order for him to remain in that office, in that position. And you wonder at times, why are those people doing what they're doing? And when you take time and back it out and you understand how that one person can have that type of impact or influence on others. And then let's see. We have the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Now, lust of the eyes, I mean, you have to see it. It's where the natural, the five senses, the eyes, those are the eyes we're talking about. Lust of the eyes. Now, for me, I like to flip it and say you see it, and based on what you see, you allow that. And what you see is flesh or some material object, and you become preoccupied with that, with obtaining that. And when you do that, what becomes important? There's nothing more important than you, than that object. So then what happens? Then you allow to get it. Then you allow to define who you are or whose you are. And it's amazing how the enemy, the devil, uses deception. He uses words to deceive you. He uses sight, he uses something to get your attention. And once he gets your attention, then he keeps you looking at that, keep that on your mind. And as a result of that, what happens? And you go to the next step. Go to the next step. And what are some of the steps that you go through in order to get it? Maybe you get a job. Maybe you practice deferred gratification. You know that it's going to take a year, so you save. Or whenever it becomes so strong, then you have to have it. And what happens then is simple. By any means available. By any means that's available, you're going to obtain it. And that, to me, is some of the reason why we have so much crime. That's the reason why we have so much violence. Now, pride of life. You take pride in your ownership. Pride. It becomes you. It becomes who you are. And whenever that happens, what happens? Becomes your God. Becomes your God. And if we look, what else does it say? What else does it say? Comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, what can the world do for you that the Father can't do for you? It can't do anything for you that the Father can't. I haven't already done for you. The Father gave you the earth. And as he gave you the earth, he put everything in the earth that one would need. Think about it. And what happened? It says the world comes from the world. The world and its desires pass away. Why are we saying that? That first car that I bought has rusted out, rusted away. It was a 1967 Volkswagen that was purchased in 67 or 66. Well, it was purchased in 66, less than 65. The next one we bought was a 68. That Volkswagen is rotted away, decayed, if you want to say that. It's gone back to the earth from whence it came. Then the next car we bought was the Volvo, a 1971 Volvo. And where is it? It's rusted away. 76 Volvo. It's rusted away. All I'm saying is, when you think about it, and when you put your heart in these material things and elevate them to a status higher than God, you, those things don't become part of history. But God is here. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. I want you to, when you think about it, what does that mean? And where did that start? Forever starts now. When you think about it, that's what eternal life is all about. It's the now. What are you doing now for God? I want you to just think about that. And normally, we have, there's three of us, and we have a discussion. And it's really, if you want to look at it content-wise, it's a 30 minutes. And then we go into a discussion, or the discussion is mixed into the time. And because they are not here, and no one is called in, and since no one is called in, we will have a word of prayer, and then we will sign out for tonight. Now, I want you to think about what I said. I'm not here trying to tell you what to believe. I just want to challenge you to make so you know and so you understand what it is you believe and why you believe it. No, not a prayer. Almighty, our blessed Creator, we give you thanks and give you praise. We ask for traveling mercy for those who have traveled that would normally be here. And we ask you for traveling mercy with any bloggers or anyone else that's traveling, whether traveling by land, sea, or air. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit ahead of them and clear the way that they will have a safe journey. And when they reach their destination, that your Spirit would have worked out in and all things that would have prevented them from having joy. And upon their return, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit ahead of them as well. In the name of your beloved Son, whose birth that most people are celebrating, and help them to get past the birth part and see that He guides us back to you. That He reconciles us back to you. And that is the most important thing that this birth did. In Jesus' name, amen.